This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And we're about to have a long talk about culture and race and other stuff. And then also this hour, we are going to tackle this medical school, UCLA medical school story out of Free Beacon. It is a doozy. And then we'll dig into some other stuff, emails. It's going to be a great hour, but I want to talk about this. So the headline is this. Caitlin Clark, she's that WNBA basketball player I don't expect you to know. Caitlin Clark's popularity is about white privilege and pretty privilege, according to a host on The View. That host would, of course, be the resident moron on that show, although that's pretty much all of them, Sonny Hostin. Here's actually what she said.
Caitlin Clark is bringing this money, these sponsorships, we hope, into the league, and other players will benefit from it. But I do think that she is more relatable to more people because she's white, because she's attractive. And unfortunately, there still is that stigma of against the LGBTQ plus community. 70% of the WNBA is black. A third of the players are in the LGBTQ plus community. And we have to do something about that stigma in this country. I think that people have a problem with basketball playing women that are lesbian.
Okay, let's have a talk. And it's going to undoubtedly prompt a whole bunch of complaints and stuff like that. Just remember, corporate is used to it by now. They have an entire department dedicated to complaints about me by this point in time. And you're welcome to email us whatever you're mad about. And I don't give a crap. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But here it is. First, let's address the last thing. She said she thinks people have a problem with lesbian female basketball players. Not necessarily. People don't care about women's basketball because women's basketball was unspeakably awful. Now, let's understand something about women's sports in general. Women's sports are a good thing. It is good for women, for young girls to be in sports. If you're a young woman listening right now, good that you're in sports. You learn hard work and teamwork, and it's so healthy for you and your body, and it's wonderful. Women's sports is wonderful. I'm glad it exists. I hope it continues to thrive in this country, and I hope the trannies don't ruin it all for you. However, it's awful to watch. Why is it awful to watch? Well, why do I like men's sports? What is it? Why is it enjoyable? I don't watch the NBA anymore, but I watched it religiously for years. Why is it enjoyable to watch the NBA? Well, I want to see things that wow me. I want to see things. I want to see people doing things that I don't think I could ever picture myself doing. I want to see Michael Jordan fly. I want to see these gigantic, monstrous men running as fast as the freaking cheetah goes and dunking the ball so hard the stadium collapses. Why? Because it's awe-inspiring, and I could never see myself doing it. It's amazing. Now, when you go over to something like women's basketball, I'm not discounting the fact that it takes hard work and practice and skill, and I know all that. Visually, it sucks because there's nothing awe-inspiring about it. I actually had to have this conversation with my wife one time. You know, my wife is an athlete, elite athlete. She was on the Canadian national team, full ride at University of Arizona for gymnastics, where she made nationals all the time. Like, she's a stud, a beast. And so she would do, you know anything about gymnastics? Gymnastics, there are four different events for the girls. The girls generally do four different events. Just stay with me. One is that one where you see them running down some, they're running straight. They're essentially doing a wind sprint. And then they jump and do some weird flip things and land it. That's one event. The other event is the bars, the parallel bars. They're doing the flips back and forth, the parallel bars. The other one is called a floor routine, just that big open floor where they're dancing and flipping and dancing and flipping. And then there's the balance beam, you know what the balance beam is. I don't have to explain it to you. Everyone's seen it. Well, I used to have to go to her gymnastics meets all the time. And when I would go to her gymnastics meets, I would tell her after the fact, whenever it would come up, hey, I was a meet, whatever. And, you know, it's fun watching her compete and whatnot. But I would explain to her, man, the balance beam is brutal to watch. And she was initially aghast. What do you, brutal? She's like, it's like the hardest thing we do. Do you understand that the beam is only like a quarter inch wide? It's wider than that. But, and do you understand the skill it takes? And I'm like, no. I understand the skill it takes. Visually, it's the least impressive thing in the world. Doesn't mean the skill is not incredible. Visually, you did like a little 2-inch hop. What does that do for me? Nothing. Visually, it sucks. That's why women's sports sucks in general. Now, let's move past that and move on to something about race and culture and other things. People get real, especially in this country now where everyone has to be careful about talking about this stuff. People get real sensitive and real scared. We never have. We never will. It's something we love talking about. Race, culture. Dividing yourself by race or culture is a very, very, very natural thing. It is the most natural thing, and it is as old as mankind itself. It's not some modern American thing or Western civilization thing or this thing or that thing. You can go, I've told you this story before, you can go look at medieval maps of cities like Prague in the Czech Republic. And you can look at the Jewish part of town. They had their own neighborhood. It was the Jewish part of town. Why would all the Jews move to one neighborhood? Because they wanted to be around people who think like them, share their values, act like them. And so that's where they moved. Here in America, when the Italians got off the boat, where'd they go? To the Italian neighborhood. When the Irish got off the boat, where'd they go? To the Irish neighborhoods. Again, here, where the Jews got off the boat, where'd they go? The Jewish neighborhoods. Black people, when they were finally freed from slavery, did they immediately move into all the white neighborhoods and just kind of mix it up? No. I mean, obviously that's happened more steadily over time, but they moved to black neighborhoods because they wanted to be around other black people and relate to other black people who shared culture and experiences and values. And what happens is, just like the Italian neighborhoods aren't really there anymore, yes, I know there's a little Italy in places like New York City, and I love it, but it's not what it was, right? The Italian neighborhoods aren't really there anymore. The Irish neighborhoods aren't really there anymore. The Jewish neighborhoods aren't really there anymore. I realize there are small examples of this, but why aren't they there anymore? Because over time, as people assimilate into a country and its culture, it becomes safer and less intimidating for you as, we'll make this about Italians for now, we'll make this less intimidating for you as an Italian to move out of the Italian neighborhood. Because over time, you're learning the language, the customs, you're learning things are less hostile here, less hostile there. So you and your Uncle Tony, you can move out of the Italian neighborhood and move into just any other neighborhood. And you know you're not going to be oppressed and you're not going to be racially stereotyped. And you can go open your deli and sell salami and do all these other things. You know that. What, Chris? I'm relating things to people. Anyway, over time, the neighborhood itself becomes less important. Because as your group, whatever that group is, has assimilated, it becomes safer to move out and move on. The Irish never really stuck around very long. They had their Irish neighborhoods and eventually this kind of moved out and moved along and assimilated. You've seen this happen with black people over time. Obviously, I know there are still black neighborhoods, but I mean, my freaking next door neighbor is black. When you move up and move on, and when you can afford to move out of urban black neighborhoods, which are a disaster, that's what you do. The first thing you do. And you know you can move right next to me, and no one gives a crap. Hey, are you bringing beer to the cornhole tournament this weekend? I mean, no one gives a crap, right? You come on out and move on. Move on. Now, let's rewind, though, and let's discuss why people do this in a little more depth. People want to surround themselves with people who look like them and act like them because they feel they are a minority in society. If you feel like you are outnumbered or in danger in any way, the most natural human thing in the world is to isolate yourself with your racial group. One of the best examples of this is prison. You know, that's the first thing you do when you get to prison? White dude's going to be with the white dudes. Mexican's going to be with the Mexicans. Black dude's going to be with the black dudes. The Chinese going to be with the Chinese. That's how it works. Now, let's expand that a little more on this white privilege thing and rooting for white people if you're white and all kinds of other stuff before we do that. Let's try to do what we can to tighten up the whole currency thing. Now, I don't mean saving the dollar. I don't know that the dollar can be fixed, and I don't have to tell you about inflation. You know all about inflation because you live your life. You should know that the people in charge don't care. They really genuinely don't care. In fact, they're busy telling you how great you have it. Oxford Gold Group, they will get gold coins or silver coins in your hands, and then you don't have to stress quite as much about the government destroying the value of the dollar. Gold or silver coins are not there because they're shiny or nice. They're there because they will outlast America. But you realize that the gold or silver coins you buy from Oxford Gold Group will outlive your children. Not wild, but it's true. You want to talk about lasting. Call 833-995-GOLD and buy some Oxford Gold Group stuff. Get it in your retirement account as well. 833-995-GOLD. We'll continue this race culture talk next. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so get your questions emailed in right now. All 3 hours belong to you tomorrow. Get your questions emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. Boston was such a great band, Chris. That was a great call. We don't play enough Boston. What a great band. I wonder where they were from. Anyway, let's get back to this conversation. We're having a long conversation about race and culture because The View's talking about this woman basketball player and her white privilege and pretty privilege. So when you're a minority in a country, whatever that minority may be, remember, we in America, when we think minorities, we think people who aren't white, but you can be a minority of any kind anywhere. You could be a Christian minority in a Muslim country, a Jewish minority, or a white minority, a black minority, an Asian minority, whatever that may be. But when you and your group of people, however you identify yourself, when you are outnumbered in a society, you will instinctively group up with like-minded people, and you will become more of an advocate for your people because you are out of power. I don't want to say second-class citizen because that's too extreme, although sometimes it does apply, but you are out of power. You are the minority. That's the essence of being a minority. I was talking to Kira Davis about this one time, and I love Kira. She's wonderful. In fact, maybe I should get a hold of Kira. We'll bring her on. Anyway, I was talking to Kira about this, and I was talking about, I don't know what it's like to be black or be a minority in America. And she said, she wasn't being condescending, she said, yeah, you wouldn't. How would you know? You're not the minority here. I've been in the minority here. She was not being argumentative. Kira's wonderful, but we were just having a discussion about this. So when it comes to accusations people make, like the one that Hag on The View just made about how people are rooting for Caitlin Clark because she's white, you know what I say to that? Okay. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Now, I should clarify, and I know that this makes me a minority, that I don't necessarily look at life that way. I really genuinely don't. It's just not how I look at life. But I'm not saying I'm right. I just have never cared about that. But many people, most people, I would argue, do care about that in one way or another. Why is it okay for black people to root for every black person they can. I'm going to vote for Obama. Why? Because he's black. We've never had a black. It's okay for Mexican people to root for Mexicans. It's okay for women to vote for women. Root for women. I want to see more women. I did. Gay people want more gay this and gay that. Everything has to be gay. I love seeing a gay man. Gay woo woo woo. But the second a white person does it, whoa! What is this white privilege? They're only rooting for her because she's white. Yeah, in sports leagues like the NBA, which are more dominated by black people, white people may not relate as much to what they see. And the second some white dude comes along who can shoot threes, a bunch of white dudes are going to say, it's the next Larry Bird, buy his jersey, because they relate to him more. I don't necessarily look at it that way. Oh, my favorite player was Michael Jordan. I didn't look at it that way, but I loved Larry Bird too. I just love that he could shoot. So I'm not necessarily making this about me, but I totally understand it. If you're a black person who roots for a black person to be elected here or represented here in this or that, I may not agree with you. In fact, I don't, but I get it. And the same thing when it comes to a white person wanting that. If you're a white person and you'd like to be able to root for a white guy occasionally or a white girl in sports, you know what's wrong with that? Nothing. I don't necessarily share it, but I totally get it. What I can't stand is that that has become the only group where it's unacceptable to identify with and root for. I can't stand that. I hate it from our politicians as well. You can hear our politicians talk specifically in great detail about every single group they can find. I love women. And this is Republican and Democrat. We're the party of women. Women, woohoo! Black people this and black people that and black people this and black people that. Oh, the Hispanic community. Woo, we love you, Hispanic community. What would be the response if even one politician came out and said, hey, I'm proud to fight for the white community in this country? What would be the response? You know what's wrong with saying something like that? Nothing. White people matter too, just as much as everyone else. There's nothing wrong with advocating for whatever group you happen to identify with. I personally don't do it just because I don't look at life in that way. But I get people who do. And you can't be Sonny Hostin and go out there every day. Everything is black this and black that and black this. And my family, we were slaves and blah, black, black, black. Everything's got to be black. I love Obama. She's black and black, black. What? These people are watching Caitlin Clark just because she's white. That's how it goes, Sonny. In this country, that will actually increase from here as the systemic racism against white people increases. As we've moved from a country back in the 50s, 60s, where black people had to experience that crap, they got more insular, started rooting for themselves more, and now you're going to see that exact same thing from white people as they get crapped on in every part of this society. That's the way it goes. You can send all your complaints into corporate or just send them right to me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Just know that I'm not sorry and I won't apologize. Okay. Let's get to some emails before we get to the medical school of UCLA. Now, as a little prep for this medical school talk, maybe it would be a good idea to go to choq.com right about now and start finding out the different natural herbal supplements that are out there. You know, are you watching on the simulcast? You know, we simulcast the show every single night on the first TV. You can watch me do the radio show. Well, you see, I have these little highlighters. I use them on occasion for the show. I actually have my highlighters in a Chalk Action 2.0. Natural all-day energy increases cellular energy production, boosts some long word, my after function, enhances oxygenation. Right there, natural herbal supplements. Endless natural herbal supplements to make your life better. At choq.com. Promo code Jesse. Get a subscription because that's where you get a discount. Cancel it at any time. All right? Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We'll get to this story out of the UCLA Medical School here shortly. I'm going to do some emails because I'm way behind and we got to clear out some room because of Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. Hey, food dude, if you're eating a chili dog, what do you put on it? I have a suggestion. Kraft mac and cheese. Have you tried that? I would be all about trying that, but I will say I'm a mac and cheese freak. I love mac and cheese. Absolutely love it. Kraft mac is my thing. It's one of those meals where every now and then I'll just go get a box and I'll go ham on that boy. Put a little hot sauce and that stuff. I peppered the daylights out of it. Kraft mac. I love it. However, I don't necessarily like mac and cheese on or in other things like mac and cheese bites. You see that in like a sports bar every now and then. I never thought it was very good. I don't think I would like that on a chili dog. Maybe I would. I don't know. Super focused Oracle.
But my focus is just stay focused.
Have you ever watched any sitcoms such as The King of Queens or The Office? If you have, what is your favorite? My mom and I love your show. We listen every day. Okay, well, obviously, I've seen both of those shows. Here's a little tidbit for you. Here's a little rewind. I'm sure this stuff happens more today than it did back then, but, you know, the American people, many, many, many American people are very patriotic. And some just want to appear patriotic, some are patriotic, but either way, when you are in the military, every now and then you will have an opportunity possibly to do something cool for someone who wants to do military outreach of some kind. When I was in the Marines, they had some little lottery thing in my unit, and the winners of the lottery thing, which I ended up winning, it was me and three or four guys, I forget how many. What we got to do was we got to go see a live recording with the studio audience of the show King of Queens. King of Queens is one of those great shows. And they got some car. It wasn't some limousine or something like that. It was just a crappy car. But they drove us out to L.A. Pretty sure it was L.A. It might have been Burbank. Whatever. It was in California. They drove us. We were already in California. They drove us down to where they filmed it. And we were all excited because we were going to get to see, hey, how cool is that? Hollywood, we get to see a recording of a show. It was the worst freaking thing you can ever imagine in your life. If you are at all like me, and maybe you're not, maybe you're a good person, don't ever go see a live recording of a studio audience show, of a sitcom show. And here's why. King of Queens was a half hour show. With commercials, 23 minutes. It's 22, 23 minutes of show you actually get to watch. Do you have any idea how long we sat in those stands watching them do it? 8 hours. For 8 hours, we had to watch the same scene because, of course, they're going to do many different cuts. I'm not even complaining about the show. I'm grateful they had us. Like, it was wonderful. It's not the show specifically. 8 hours. Nope. Cut this one again. Nope. Again. Let's do that one more time. It's not like you sit there and it's just a big laugh parade. Oh, there's some celebrities. Oh, Leah Remini. She's pretty hot. Hey, Leah, here's my number. No, there's nothing. 8 hours of brutality. I would have rather been back on base then go ever do that again. If they invited me the next time, I'd refuse. All right, let's talk about something. The headline, this is courtesy of Free Beacon. They get all the credit in the world, as they so often do. It's a wonderful publication. They put in all kinds of work, real journalism, interviews, and the article itself is so much more in depth than I'm going to go into on the radio. I just don't do that on the radio. I don't read articles. I think it's boring radio. But if you're one of those people, you want more meat. Grow up, Chris. If you want more details to the story, go read it. The headline is "A Failed Medical School: How Racial Preferences, Supposedly Outlawed in California, Have Persisted at UCLA." Let me just kind of break it down before I read a couple things for you. They have had, well, they have. Her name's Jennifer Lucero, Dean of Admissions. She's one of these DEI-loving types. And what she has done is, well, here's a great example of it. What she's done is, though only 5% of students fail each test nationally, the rates are much higher at UCLA, having increased tenfold in some subjects since 2020, according to internal data. What are these tests? These are the basic tests that medical personnel in college have to pass in order to achieve degrees. Nationwide, 5% of students fail. At UCLA, well, here's the number for you. More than 50% of students failed standardized tests on little things like emergency medicine, family medicine, internal medicine, and pediatrics. UCLA used to be the sixth place school for medical research in the United States of America. They've dropped in just 4 years, 3.5 years, they've dropped to 18th and falling faster. Why? Led by Lucero, this is from the article, who also serves, what a surprise, as vice chair for equity, diversity, and inclusion, UCLA's anesthesiology department, the admissions committee routinely gives Black and Latino applicants a pass for subpar metrics for people who are served on it, say, while whites and Asians need near perfect scores to even be considered. I could go into detail even more. You should know. One admissions officer blasted Lucero for it. And do you know what the response was from Lucero? You want to talk about communists seizing choke points and then destroying everything? This was her comment. Did you not know African American women are dying at a higher rate than everybody else? This is one. It's wonderful reporting. Go read it. Go read it. It's wonderful reporting. And I could go into details. I won't. But what it comes down to is an iconic medical institution has already been gutted like a fish. And it's now churning out diversity hire doctors who may be standing over you or your child with a scalpel one day. One little excerpt was, some of them can't find an artery. Diversity is not our strength. Diversity is death. Forced diversity. When you move away from merit to forced diversity, you will destroy whatever industry you're doing that in. I don't care whether you make toilet paper or whether you make doctors. If you stop focusing on what matters, merit, talent, hard work, accomplishment, and you toss that aside for some ridiculous gender quotas, racial quotas, whatever they may be, you will kill whatever industry you're doing that to. And the damaging part about that is this is happening at the highest levels of our country with critical systems. Little things like surgeons, air traffic controllers, judges. These are the diversity hires that are now running the country. Eye-popping stuff. All right, we have more. Corinne Diversity Hire has an article written about her. And some ex-VP at Goldman Sachs is complaining about the man's world culture she left. You know what? Let's talk about that as long as we're offending everyone in the second hour. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Chris, you know, I do appreciate Metallica. I don't think that's the right version of Whiskey in the Jar we need to be playing. What are you pointing at for? What are you saying? What? Go find the one by the Dubliners. The Dubliners is real Irish music. Yeah, Chris, that's the one you need to get on there. The Dubliners, man. And it's not crappy. Go pull it up right now. Irish music does not suck. You suck. Irish music is the best. There was this bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. It probably still there. It was in New York, New York, which I don't know even know if that's still there. I don't go to Vegas or anything like that anymore. But they had this bar called the Nine Fine Irishmen. It was the first time I'd ever experienced live Irish folk music. And you can hate or love Irish music, but I'll tell you this. Everyone was in a good mood. Music sets the mood. No, Chris, it's not because they were drinking. It's not because they were drinking. People can drink and get in terrible moods. Have you ever dated a Latina woman? You don't even give her a margarita, buddy, or you just better start ducking for cover. Anyway, it's because of the music. Everyone was happy. Everyone's hugging and laughing. Ah, Irish music's the best. That Metallica version, I don't know about that. I don't know about John Kerry either.
I negotiated with China for 3 years as envoy. I worked with them as Secretary of State. And China, I've seen a transition in China. And we agreed at Sunnylands in California. We spent 4 days together negotiating. China agreed. They will include all greenhouse gases in their next announcement of NDC. China agreed they will accelerate the deployment of renewable in this, and they're doing it. They're already doing it faster than we are. And so I'm not here to argue.
China is building a new coal plant about every 15 minutes. A new coal plant. So everyone's screaming about this today. What if China's? Why is he even saying this? That's not even close to true. China doesn't do any of this green stuff. Well, you already know why he's saying it. Why? John Kerry's not trying to destroy China. John Kerry is trying to fill up his bank account while helping America's communists destroy America. John Kerry, like so many others, John Kerry doesn't ever think about America in the same way you think about America. He just doesn't. And that's so hard for us to accept. He never has even a moment of genuine love or emotional pull for his country. When you're listening to the national anthem, when you're watching the fireworks on the 4th of July, when you find out about our troops being killed overseas, these things that happen that create emotions inside of you and tug at you and tug at me. I'm friggin' embarrassed. I'm not even a crier. I still occasionally get a little choked up during the national anthem. Isn't that pathetic? When they hit that land of the free thing, I think it hits me harder now than it ever did. John Kerry doesn't have those moments. They don't. Joe Biden doesn't even remember what it's like to have those moments. And it's not just Democrats. The Mitch McConnells of the world, they don't even remember what those moments are like. They're not like you. They're not like me. America, for you, for me, is a country to be treasured and celebrated and fought for and protected. For these people, for the people who run our country, America is just a place to be gutted. It's just a carcass to be gutted and skinned before you move on to the next thing. That's how these people look at everything. And look, here's a great one for you. We haven't covered this much. We brought her up before, but outside of Chicago, there's an area called Dalton. They have a mayor, Tiffany Hayward. I've actually grown to love her ever since we started covering it. Not in that way. I just think it's hilarious. She's just a crook and is pretty open about the fact she's a crook. She's making rap videos with taxpayer money. And she's, well, here's the story.
Hey, guys, this is Super Mayor Tiffany Hayward. You're the people's mayor, and I am in the White House.
It's mid-January, and Dalton Mayor Tiffany Hayward is getting a tour of the White House, part of the U.S. Conference of Mayors annual meeting in Washington, D.C., and even a photo op with the president himself. But there's a big problem with who paid for Hayward to be here.
These appropriations are misappropriations.
We showed credit card statements for the trip to veteran municipal lawyer Bert Odelson, who represents Dalton trustees opposed to Hayward.
Every time I say I can't believe that she would do something, here comes another.
We found more than $9,000 in charges for the U.S. Conference Mayor's meeting, including conference fees, flights to Washington, D.C., hotel rooms that were all charged to a credit card belonging to Thornton Township, a completely separate unit of government where Hayward serves as supervisor.
these people to the people who run our country now, because we don't raise patriotic Americans who get involved in politics now. Our most patriotic Americans avoid politics, sadly. The people who get involved in politics now just look at America like a big carcass that needs to be gutted for whatever meat and skin they can salvage off of it on the way out. That's how they all look at it. So when you hear John Kerry brag about China's climate change progress while complaining about America, you don't have to bother pointing out how factually incorrect he is. All you have to do is understand that John Kerry isn't worried about China's coal plants because John Kerry isn't trying to destroy China. He's trying to destroy us. These people, America's just a bank vault. We use the example many, many times about talking about the system and how they're like a gang of bank robbers, a bunch of bank robbers who wanted to rob the bank. And they realized that they could loot way more money if they got together and robbed it together than if they did it separately. And that's really how it works now. These people get together every day, all day, and just pillage us for everything we're worth. All right, enough of that. Let's talk about this ex-Goldman Sachs VP complaining about man culture. Corinne Diversity Hire got a little article written about her, some financial stuff, some emails, why CNN's low ratings don't matter, all that and more coming up next hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.